My pleasure now to bring on Salem Mayor Kim Driscoll for our a monthly visit. Madam Mayor, welcome back. And how is your summer going?
You know, it's been an exciting, exhilarating, and exhausting time to be in local government. So good overall. Everyone's healthy, and that's really all that matters.
Well, you don't have time for the brain cells to atrophy, for sure. I want to start, Madam Mayor, if I may, with the announcement that Police Chief Mary Butler is retiring, and I know that she has been a solid stabilizing force in the city over the years.
Yeah, she's done great work here. We've been lucky to have her, you know, for her whole career, but certainly the last 5 years as chief. She's been a real leader, leading us through, you know, some of our larger and more successful haunted happenings and Halloween events, opening up the recreational marijuana industry here. She's just been a solid partner on so many fronts. You know, we're a small city, but we punch out of our weight class. There's a lot of big scale events, and to have a police force led by somebody who understands how to scale up when we need to and have that expertise is really critical, and she's just done wonderful work.
I've talked with police chiefs and police officers around on the North Shore, and we don't seem to have that tension between residents and police that is apparent in other places, maybe in big cities and so on. And of course, I know that no one is caught up yet on what happened in the Senate early this morning. The Massachusetts Senate did pass a reform bill of sorts that would limit the use of tear gas, chokeholds, and that kind of thing. What is the prevailing atmosphere in Salem with respect to, you know, the national scene and how this may be affecting us locally?
I think like everywhere, you know, we're all examining our policies, certainly in law enforcement, but across the board, to understand how we can be better stewards in creating a community where everybody feels respected and heard. And I think there are those of us who feel like, yeah, we have a lot of things going in our favor. We're not a large city. We know many of the people who we employ, whether that's in law enforcement or in schools or in any faction within local government. So there's some trust, but I also think we can do better, right? That doesn't mean that bias doesn't exist here in any way, shape, or form. And so I think we're trying to approach this work to make sure that we're being mindful and listening to people of color in our community, young people of color especially, who grew up here, who have experiences that might be different than the majority of people who live in our community. And now is the time for us to listen, reflect, and most importantly, act.
I have to ask you, because I'm beginning to understand it. The idea, and you see this in the paper all over the place, about defunding police and all that kind of stuff. It really doesn't mean that, does it? I mean, it means what you're talking about, maybe getting more education in and maybe doing different things a little bit differently.
You know, my take on it is that people are asking us to look at whether police have to be responding to every call.
Okay.
In many places, I would say Salem included, the police department is the default. It's the go-to, whether you're talking about fireworks or breaking and entering or a drug overdose or any kind of issue or nuisance that might be happening within your neighborhood. You're typically calling 911 or calling the police department. And we have tried to put in place some innovations, whether that's our high-risk task force that works on with our homeless population and our substance abuse disorder, you know, individuals who might have those issues to contend with. But it still is sending sort of an armed, well-trained, very expensive apparatus or individual to respond to something. And when I hear defund police, I think people are asking us to look at, are there other ways to respond to community concerns? And it's certainly worthwhile to explore that and understand how we're deploying resources and if there's a better way to do that. I don't think it means defund the police,
right,
and don't give our community the public safety tools that it needs, but asking us to sort of think more innovatively about who and how we respond to certain things in our community.
Yeah, I think the Orwellian language, we could put some of that away at some point and have a little bit more intelligent conversation on how we describe things. But thank you for explaining that to me. Along those lines, in terms of improvements and so on, there is a new coalition of sorts involving a race study in Salem?
Yeah, we formed a race equity task force really aimed at trying to ensure that we're being thoughtful around the important work that needs to happen as we identify and quantify racial disparities within our community. How do we support a citywide action plan that really identifies strategies we can take in different sectors? You know, I think I do think racism is systemic, and we need to act in a comprehensive way, and that means looking not only at law enforcement and policing, but healthcare and education and housing and a number of areas where, unfortunately, there are disparities, and race is a big part of that. So we're looking forward to both understanding it better, listening, but most importantly, acting.
All right, a couple more quick questions here, and we'll wrap it up. In terms of how things have gone to this point with phases one and two, and now we're in three, how are things rolling along?
I mean, I think the health benchmarks in Massachusetts are good, you know, however, our borders are porous, which means there are, you know, going to be things that happen in other parts of the country that could impact the Commonwealth. And as the weather is warm and it's summer, typical in New England, we need to make sure we're not letting our guard down. You know, in Salem, as we're approaching phase three, we're really trying to reinforce, especially knowing that we do have visitors here. You know, there are we're trying to make sure we're marketing to people who live in Massachusetts and the general New England area that have typically approached COVID in the same way. But there are visitors coming from other places, and so we need to remind folks of the rules here and really be clear about how they'll be enforced to ensure that we maintain those positive benchmarks. The epidemiologists that I talk with, Rick, tell me there will definitely be a second wave. It's not a matter of if, but more of when and how bad. So we need to stay vigilant.
Yikes. Well, you know, and that brings us to schools. I know there are no answers. I know that there are no plans in place at the moment. But how is it being worked on in Salem? Who are dealing with this kind of thing? And meetings and that kind of thing. Who's trying to put a plan together? And I guess you have to do it, of course, according to the governor's guidelines.
Yeah, I think reopening schools is a real beast to tackle, right? We have to work closely to adhere to the guidelines. We also know how important it is to get kids back in school. I mean, we don't think remote learning is equal to learning in a building. We think there's a lot of inequities, especially the younger the population, the harder it is. In the same vein, we obviously have to have kids in a safe environment, kids and staff. So we're working our way right now, trying to understand and assess all of our building needs, what's there. And we actually have low class sizes and decent buildings. So I think we're going to be in good shape in terms of meeting actually closer to 6-foot guidelines and are identifying outdoor spaces, other spaces we can use within schools to try and spread out the number of students and even get outside, which we all agree has a lower risk threshold, while also planning for alternatives. So there will be here a model for folks who don't feel safe coming back to school, an online remote learning model for individuals who either don't feel like it's going to work for them or their student or their family, as well as we think there'll be some staff who fit that bill. So we're going to have a couple of different options. That's our hope for right now, and we are in the throes of working through that. But I do think it's a challenge. It's important for youngest members of our community. We want to make sure that they're getting all the advantages of being able to be in school and learn from each other. I mean, kids really do need to be in each other's presence, and we know it has impacts when they're not here.
Well, it sounds like, once again, you've got some things to do here and things to work on. Madam Mayor, thank you so much for taking the time today. I know how busy you are. I appreciate it, and please stay well.
Will do. Never boring in local government, that's for sure, Rick.
Thank you, ma'am.
All right.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Things are well in Gloucester.
All right. Yes, bye. Ma'am. All right. That is Salem Mayor Kim Driscoll.